kid, one of my favorite toys was this this Voltron creature, where it's like four or five separate toys, and they can all combine into one like mega toy, Voltron. So like one guy becomes the leg of Voltron, one guy becomes the other leg, the arm, the body, the head. They all form this giant thing. Or like, you know, when I was growing up, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you know, well, that was kind of fun. Those guys, yeah, so the Power Rangers, they could combine into one big guy to take on what they need to take on. So did you know that in the Bible, one of Jesus' disciples actually talks about the church like a giant body, a big body made up of lots of little bodies? So you and 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 you, and even you, Abel, and you and you and you, all of you are bodies inside the big body of Christ Jesus. We're all parts of the Jesus body. And we have this fancy word called ministry, which basically means everybody in the body has a job to do. We're all ministers of something to do, to serve. So like, for example, our friend Oakley here, her ministry is music. She helps us worship Jesus by playing the bass, and she's doing a fantastic job. And all of us have different ministries. And just like the body has arms and legs and eyes, the church has lots of bodies with lots of different ministries. And that's what we're thinking about today. So like, we have these hands right here, and we have this ball of clay. And today we're saying, Jesus, I know that my life is like clay in God's hands, and you're going to shape my life. You're going to give me certain gifts and skills and things that I love or that I'm good at, and you're going to shape my life. You're going to mold me into, you know, this could be molded into a bass guitar. This could be molded into all kinds of things, and Jesus will use us, which is so cool. There's one more thing that I want to show you, and this one I actually need your help with. So if you could stand up where you are, and promise not to fall off the stairs when I have you do things. Okay. One of our scripture readings in the sermon talks about how the body has ligaments. You know what a ligament is? It's kind of weird. You do. What's it? Yeah, the ligaments connect the bones. So like if one of your sports stars tears his ACL, he tears a ligament in his knee, and his knee got bent the wrong way. So the body of Jesus, the church, has ligaments that hold us together. But here's what happens. If we ignore Jesus' word, if we stay away from the church, if we say, oh, I don't need your help, God, here's what happens, guys. What does a body without ligaments walk like? Exactly. Exactly. Can you see Mr. Noodle over here? So demonstrate for the rest of us, a body without ligaments is like this. It's like, hey, yeah, I kind of follow Jesus, but I kind of don't, and I kind of understand what's going on, and I kind of don't, right? Or a body with super tight ligaments, where it's like, no fun, no smiling in church. A body with super tight ligaments walks like Frankenstein. It's like you don't have any joints to, you can't bend your arms or your legs. That's no fun either. And the worst thing of all, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever been walking down the street and your ear falls off?
No.
Me neither. We're very lucky. But the ligaments also hold all the body parts together. Like the bones get held together by ligaments. And so if we didn't have ligaments, pieces of our body would just fall off and go away. Right? Isn't that crazy? And in the church, we don't want to lose an ear or a toe or an eye. We want to keep the body together. So, yep. And so we trust, we pray that God would build strong ligaments in our church so that we can dance and move like normal and lift stuff and help people, and we're not stiff or we're not loose like a noodle, and we're definitely not losing our ears and falling to the ground. So let's pray together. Please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, give us your Holy Spirit to build ligaments in this church, so we can move and be strong and not lose an ear on the ground. Thank you for these ministries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can head on back to your families. Just walk normal, right? You got ligaments. Kids can bend all kinds of directions. The rest of us can't. Bye. Bye. I invite you to please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, now we're on for our third mark of the church, ministry. And next week, the fourth mark is worship. And it begins to look like we've already turned the corner two marks in from what God gives to us to now what we do for God. The first 2 weeks, we looked at the Lord's Supper and at baptism, these gifts, these sacraments of God to us in tangible form. And it already feels like we're turning the corner, like, okay, now let's talk ministry, the things we do for God. And next week, let's talk about worship, the songs and praise and lives we offer to God. Well, not so fast. Our key text today is going to be the Peter reading, the first reading. And Peter mixes all kinds of metaphors. Peter's first paragraph is basically rockabye babies. He starts out by saying we're babies, we should be like newborns who long for pure milk because they want to grow into salvation. Babies don't even know that's what the milk provides. They just have such a deep, innate, natural hunger for that which will make them grow. Their body's created for that kind of milk and nourishment. So they long for it. And Peter says, be babies. And then he goes on to say, but also be living stones. Be living stones. And these living stones, because of the great living stone, Jesus, these living stones are piled together and form a spiritual house, a sanctuary of living stones. And then not only are the people newborn babies drinking milk, but also stones in the wall. You know, you can see now why I decided to add a new metaphor and do clay in the potter's hands on the table, because I couldn't figure out a way to stack baby dolls into four walls and a roof to be newborn babies forming a living house. So we're going to stick with the clay down there. But Peter has this idea of newborn babies built into this living house. And not only are we forming the house, walls, and roof, we're the priests inside the house. He says, we're all priests, a holy priesthood, and we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. We'll get back to that. So Peter says, we are newborn infants growing in salvation, but the way you grow is to actually give. The way you grow is to give. The way babies grow is to take in the milk so that they might grow and find out, hey, in our family, in our life, in our church, in our school, among our friends, we give. We don't just take. we give. And as babies learn to give, they learn how to grow and mature. And we do this looking at Jesus, who is the minister of the church. He's the minister of rock. He's the living stone, the minister of rock. He's rejected by mortals, but has been made the cornerstone. And he's precious and chosen in God's sight. This is how Peter puts it. So we have three movements for this living stone, Jesus. We have the stone that was rejected on the cross. We have the stone, the precious stone, which is now a living stone, precious in God's sight, which is Jesus raised from the dead on the third day. And then we have the living stone now made the head of the corner, or the cornerstone of the structure. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Jesus now the head of the church, the head of the body. So if Jesus is the minister of rock, that makes Jesus' people, you and me, ministers of rock. Our movement is a little bit different than Jesus's. We become living stones through the word of salvation, the word of life. And then we are formed into this spiritual house. And then we offer spiritual sacrifices. Salvation, church, ministry. Peter says, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, into a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Wait a minute. Stop the music here. A spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. What's acceptable to God? How much? Do I have what it takes? How much is enough? What does that look like? Well, we got to keep reading. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What makes a spiritual sacrifice acceptable is not who we are or what we give, but who Jesus is and what the Holy Spirit has gifted us to serve with. The times, talents, and treasures that are unique or shared among each of us. This is what makes spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. This is what takes our ragtag ministries, our worship and praise, our lives of service, and through Jesus, it's an offering to God. And lo and behold, does God need burnt offerings and sacrifices? No, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. What does God want of our lives? He wants us to bless our neighbors. The church exists for the sake of the world. We exist for the sake of those who are not in this space. We look at Jesus, the minister of rock, who said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And like Jesus, we are built together into a spiritual house under the cornerstone of Christ, and we gather for the sake of the world to be formed into a house of mercy. Jesus talks about this Father's house in our gospel today. That beautiful passage which is very common in funeral services. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. The Father's house of mercy is described by Jesus. It's a place for troubled hearts. The Father's house is a place where troubled hearts fit right in and are welcome and are given mercy and peace. This mercy, of course, begins through the death and resurrection of Christ for our salvation. But it really belongs and is given to troubled hearts, troubled disciples of every time and place, who believe that the only stones that matter in the end are the ones that are rolled over our graves. But on the contrary, mercy is through the one whose gravestone rolled away and in whose life we find our life knit together, bound together like ligaments. This mercy is for newborns longing to grow up. Some of us have had to do a lot of growing up this year. Mercy is for hearts of stone made alive again and joined together under that chief cornerstone. Mercy is a royal priesthood that together is knit to offer sacrifices that God accepts through Jesus. How merciful that God should not only forgive us, but use us, send us out in ministry, attach his name to our lives. What a thing. What a mercy. And I just love that Bethesda's name is House of Mercy in Hebrew. I've said it a lot in the last few months. Beth Chesed, Bethesda, House of Mercy. Be a great nickname for this worship service. Welcome to House of Mercy at Bethesda Lutheran Church. Jesus, describing this Father's house, goes on to talk about what we're going to do in this Father's house, what we're doing as a house of mercy. And he goes on to say something, it's one of the hardest things to believe, I think, in the whole Bible. He says, the one who believes in me will do the same works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. I mean, Jesus just promised to us, to his trouble-hearted disciples, that the ministries that he's going to give us are going to outdo what Jesus has done. They're going to be greater than Jesus. They're going to top the Lord. How can that possibly be the case? Well, on one hand, it's not possible because Jesus is the cornerstone. So as the living stone's house, the living spiritual house of God, of the church, grows, it just gets bigger, but Jesus stays at the head of the church, and Jesus stays at the church's one foundation. So we really never outdo Jesus. We just grow up into Christ, the head of the church. But on the other hand, it's also the case that Jesus gave his Holy Spirit to believers so that mercy might multiply. Jesus calls 12 disciples to apostleship. He sends out 72 disciples as an early advance ministry. More than 100 disciples are given the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and that day thousands are added to the church. And through the Spirit that Jesus and his Father gives, greater things are done. Mercy is multiplied. It's unbelievable. It's not in our bulletin today, but Ephesians 4 is a great place to spend some time. And if you are one who takes these inserts home and uses them either for your personal devotion time or in a small group or a Bible study, it does prompt you to read Ephesians 4, kind of the middle of that chapter. And Paul here talks not about a spiritual house made of rocks, but he talks about the body of Christ and the ligaments that the children and I just talked about. The ligaments that knit us together so we can move and be stabilized and go in the right direction and stick together. But this is a really important word as we're thinking about being marked by ministry today. Because Bethesda's gone through and is going through and is a lot of changes. And we're searching the Lord and we're searching each other and we're coming to the table and we're speaking openly and in love, speaking the truth in love, which is what Paul says in Ephesians 4. Speaking the truth in love, we're seeking God's will for the ministry of this place. And here is you're going to hear about a much longer job description for a solo pastor here for the time being. But I'll tell you, it's actually short as one sentence. Paul says, here's the job description for your pastor. The gifts God gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's it. That's the call of your pastor in one line, is to equip the saints for ministry, to build up the body. So I want to close the sermon with just a couple examples of exciting, I think, new things, new groups of folks that are gathering together to equip themselves, to be equipped by the Lord for ministry in a new time. One, you've been hearing a lot from the Church Planning Council nearly weekly with updates, and so I'm not going to say much about that, but the council has more people than it's had in years, and it's a really vibrant, gifted, and diverse group with a lot of helpful, different perspectives. But the two other groups I want to just briefly highlight are the Worship Planning Committee and the Care Team. We were the Care Committee for about half of a meeting, and then we renamed ourselves the Care Team. Between these two committees, there's nearly 20 members who have taken on a new ministry and who are equipping ourselves so that our worship service is a group effort, that we are leaving space for creativity, diversity, that we have a solid Lutheran worship that also has some flexibility. And it's an incredible group. I'm excited in the next newsletter to introduce you to the 12 members of the worship team, and so that you know who to talk to with your own ideas, feedback, and insights for our worship services together. More on that next Sunday as we talk about the fourth mark of the church. And then the care team. The care team. To equip the saints to care for this body. We have a lot of folks who call Bethesda home. Not everyone who sits in this room on a Sunday is part of Bethesda. There's double the people who consider this their church home. And so the care team has been created to make sure that we aren't that people aren't falling through the cracks, or that people who have an emergent need that comes and goes, that we can be attentive to that and really knit together with ligaments the parts of the body so that we don't have ears and toes falling off as Bethesda moves along. Those are really exciting new things, and we'll describe them more in an upcoming newsletter. And there's always more seats at that table if God's calling you in that way. But that's just a brief example of some of the ways that between the council and those two new groups, about 30 people in this place are seeking a new ministry or seeking to expand the ministry. We're trying to strengthen the ligaments of Bethesda because we exist for the sake of the world, because we exist for the sake of our neighbors, because we exist for those who have yet to be called out of darkness into his light, as Peter tells us in our first reading. And we do this not because ministry is what we do, but because ministry is what God shapes us for. Clay in the potter's hands, babies drinking milk, living stones built up into a house, whatever your metaphor. The Father and the Son send the Spirit to make this ministry happen. They send the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament and Christian community. Apart from the Spirit, individual stones or body parts might look impressive, but they don't accomplish anything. With the Spirit, we're joined together, stabilized, moving in the right direction. We commit our ministries to the Lord. We commit our ministries to Jesus, who is the cornerstone of the rock, of this house of rock, and the head of the church, the head of the body. We commit our ministry to the Holy Spirit, who forms ligaments and living stones. We commit our ministry to the Father, who will fling wide the doors of his mansion of mercy so that every troubled heart would come home to mercy. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for that milk of the gospel that allows us to grow up into the salvation life you've promised. Give us this milk. And as we do this, form us together like living stones into a house of mercy so that we could offer as priests, every one of us, the work you'd have for us to do for the sake of the world. We commit this to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.